Rosary in the backfield. The crowd in full throat. They swing it out to Rosary on the right side. Rosary chased by Josh White. Strung out, and Josh White and others will wrap him up for a loss. Way back, and the Rams with 1:38 left will get the ball back.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. Also brought to you by Double Z Ag Sales out there in Weyburn and Corey Zadorozniak. Mark Reschner Photography. Check out his work at markreschner.com. The Boys Next Door Window Cleaning with Nathan and Landon. Their website, theboysnextdoor.ca. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina. Getting the real estate game with a three-time Grey Cup champ. 306-502-5355. By SAS Selects Football. Building the stars of tomorrow today with Zelko and his wife Deb. Time now for our homegrown segment brought to you by our friends at Riviere Ag Seeds out there in Radville, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified durum, yellow peas, and chickpeas. Well, it is the first Sunday of NFL action, a new look NFL with the whole COVID-19 thing, but I'll tell you what, as you look across the NFL landscape, we don't say this enough. There are three former Regina Rams on NFL rosters. Brett Jones out of Weyburn, outstanding offensive lineman in the CFL a few years ago. He's been on the Vikings, went to the Giants, traded back to the Vikings. He was cut, but then added to their practice rosters. So he starts the season as a depth player on the practice roster for the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, Akiem Hicks, one of the better defenders in the league. His career was resurrected by Frank McChrystal when he was punted from the LSU program. When he was working for a cable company, Frank finds him, brings him here, and now he's in the NFL making big-time bucks with the Chicago Bears. They open up against the Detroit Lions. And Tavon Campbell, who is from Toronto, comes to Regina, plays in the CFL with the Rough Riders, the Stamps, and the Montreal Alouettes, plays rugby, goes to the Jets, then ends up on the Chargers practice roster. Well, he is on the 53-man roster today as this afternoon, I call them San Diego. They're one of my favorite teams. The LA Chargers take on Joe Burrow in his first ever started quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. I caught up with Tavon Campbell and asked him, you know, about his excitement about finally making a roster. And he has to be on top of it. So how does he stay on top of it?
Definitely. Every time I go down to the States and I stand on one of those fields, I think about how much different the game would be. And I think it'll just play to my advantages of speed and burst and the ability to come out of breaks. And I think that if I use everything I know, I'll be successful.
What's Tavon Campbell's off-season workout regimen look like?
Well, this year it's a lot of everything. I do a lot of track. I do a lot of field work. I do a lot of lifting and a lot of shadow boxing.
Shadow boxing, cool.
Some yoga on the weekends.
How'd you get into shadow boxing, and what does that do to help you?
I just picked it up along the way. I back in the Montreal season, I just decided I wanted to start boxing, so I just picked up a little shadow boxing, and I think it just works a lot on the gym as a DB and a corner especially.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, yoga. I tried yoga the other day. Now, granted, I'm in my mid-40s. You're still a young whippersnapper, as us old guys like to say, but... Man, I thought I was in shape. I work out quite a bit. I'm not in Tavon Campbell shape, but I work out. I'm not, you know, I'm hold my own. But I go into that yoga room, hot yoga with my daughter. I got my ass kicked. Was it awkward for you doing yoga at the start?
I mean, it's definitely different because you think, okay, I'm pretty in shape. I think I could hold my body up for X amount of time, and you get to start doing it, and you realize that the muscles kind of work against you in yoga. So it's definitely a difficult activity to do.
Do you practice? You know, I've talked about this with other guys. Football is a very stressful sport for so many reasons. The business side, guys are trying to take your job, especially if you're playing defensive back and corner like you're wont to do. You got to have a short memory because when you get burned, people see it. Do you do mindfulness? Do you do some mental stuff, meditation to help you out?
I just read a lot.
Yeah?
I'd say I picked up a few books this off season. So, I just keep my head in the books and
okay.
Try to read. There's a new book called, well, not new, but Relentless is,
okay.
Is a good book about,
what's that about?
Athletes. And it's pretty much about mindset. So guys like Kobe, guys like Dwayne Wade, guys like Michael Jordan, it shows you their mindset and how they approach the game of basketball.
How do you erase a bad play? Like, what do you do to because, like I said, you're on the corner, you're on the island, man. Guy beats you, everybody in the stadium sees it. How do you forget that play and move on to the next play? What do you do? Or is it just something that you have?
You kind of just think about a good play you're going to make. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone makes bad plays, but can everyone make the good plays? And that's kind of why they keep you around. They know you're not perfect, and they know something's going to happen, but can you come back from that and make a good play out?
How did you end up with the Rams? Just tell us a little bit about your journey, and who do you think about at this time when you sign an NFL contract? Who in your life influenced you, either off the field or coaching-wise?
I came to the Rams. Well, first of all, Paul Dawson came to Toronto when I was about grade 11. And my coach, Coach Bubba, we call him, he kind of set up the meeting. And I knew there was a couple guys that went to the school, and I felt like it would be a good fit for me just to get my mind clear and go somewhere far away from home, which is what I wanted to do. So, yeah, I went there, and I don't know, it kind of turned out successful for me, and that's what I kind of enjoyed.
What did you like about, you mentioned Paul Dawson, Frank McChrystal running the ship. When I've talked to people, they say Frank McChrystal and his staff really treated you like it wasn't about the program, it was about the individual inside the program. Did you get that sense?
Oh, definitely. They definitely looked out for me. They didn't just bring me to Regina from Toronto and kind of leave me on my own. They definitely looked out for me, made sure I was taken care of, make sure that I understood what I was doing in the school, where I was going around the city. They told players to kind of watch out for me, and that's what guys like Stephon Charles did and Nakeem Hicks and guys like that. They kind of took me in under their wings and made me feel comfortable.
Yeah, good luck to Tavon Campbell, Akeem Hicks, and Brett Jones, all former U of R Rams from little old Regina. Three guys on NFL rosters to start the season. At least we get to see some local products or locally produced products play some football this fall, as we all eagerly watch the NFL, hoping that they can get through their full 16-game regular season and then the playoffs. All right, time now for our Athlete of the Week, brought to you by our friend Paul Waldo, the three-time Grey Cup champ, a guy that, I mean, he was 165 pounds soaking wet. I just had lunch with him the other day. He said it's absolutely amazing that he made it, but he never gave up. He persevered. He really threw his body in there, played kamikaze style, which by today's standards might not be welcomed in terms of player safety. But the guy gutted it out, won three Grey Cup championships, two with Montreal, one with your Saskatchewan Roughriders, 2013. And he is in the real estate game now in Regina at 306-502-5355 over at Royal LePage, a proud sponsor of this podcast. He also coaches the defensive backs with the U of S Huskies. So he would know our Athlete of the Week. That would be Riley Pickett, defensive lineman with the U of S Huskies. Riley, what's your nickname? Do you have a nickname?
My nickname in junior for Saskatchewan Hilltops is the Sack Master, but I've yet to get that in the U Sports League, but hopefully I can attain that this next coming season.
But you don't have any other nickname? You weren't called anything growing up as a kid or anything like that?
Just like pick six, just like the usual type of things.
Okay.
No,
awesome, yeah.
I always played DB until I grew, so
all right.
I had a fair share of those in my day.
How long have you been playing football for?
I've been playing football since grade 8. Started playing D-line in grade 11, and I'd have it no other way.
What's better, quarterback sack or a pick six?
For sure, quarterback sack, in my opinion, because that's the best player on their team, and anytime that you can lay a lick on him and bury him into the dirt and make him feel it, there's no better feeling than that.
You have a favorite quarterback sack in your career so far? One that, if you were to play it over again in your mind or get a chance to play it again, what one would that be?
Probably my first sack with the Huskies in my first year. We played in U of M week 2, and it was a shootout game. Josh Haggerty actually iced the game with an interception.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two sacks in that game, and that was my first multi-sack game in the league. And, sacking Des Cattelier, he's a pretty good quarterback, so it felt pretty good.
Your first sack, and I think that was Haggerty's first ever interception at the U Sports level, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe.
Yeah,
so.
I think that was our first year starting together. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, making a little bit of a dynasty in the defensive side of the ball there.
Who's your best friend on the team?
Best friend on the team's got to be Kyle Newton, our fucking our tight end, or Adam Mackard, our running back. Probably. Yeah. Those are my two best friends on the team.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, you look at your defense going into this season. High hopes for that defense? You guys were coming together there last year.
Yeah, I got pretty high hopes for our defense. We returned most of our secondary players, like obviously Nelson Lacombo, won the president, absolute stud. You already interviewed Josh Haggerty, ball yeah. hawk over the middle, hard-hitting safety. We did lose a couple defensive linemen, but we got Nathan Cherry ready to step up on the other edge with me. He's a hell of a player. Yeah. And our nose tackle, Jonathan Leggett and Carson Bell, they're just ready to come in there and plug with the middle, just like Macabrota did for so many years.
What's your go-to move? What's your go-to pass rushing move? Is it a spin move? What do you do?
Honestly, I don't ever spin unless I'm, like, really in trouble. Yeah. I'm more of a cross chop or a long arm kind of player, especially running the 30 front defense. Usually we're all usually eating the double team, so just compressing the pocket as best as we can. Yeah. Just trying to get that quarterback to get the ball out. Hopefully our DBs can get some interceptions with this with some pressure.
So walk us through 30 defense. Obviously, I know is a three front, but you know what kind of challenges does that bring for you? Because there's not as much freedom as if you were in a 40 defense with a 4-man front.
Oh, like there's a lot of challenges for sure, especially if we're playing teams like UBC or U of A that just try to run the ball down your throat with an 8-man box, and we just have a 30-man front. It's really fun though because you really just. You just want to stop the run in a 30 front because you're daring them to run the ball. And that's where I really pride myself on was my run-stopping abilities last season. I've never really been that great at it. And then I got thrown over to the boundary side. And I just kind of took on that role for the team last year and just got away from what I'm usually used to. And, just like eating double teams and just not getting pushed back, probably just letting my linebackers come through and make the plays.
Do you have to beef up weight-wise? Like, what are you playing at right now?
I'm playing at about 250 right now. I probably will beef up about 7 pounds more for next season, so that's a whole calendar year away. But I'll probably stay at this weight for that Super 6 tournament in Quebec City in May.
So, you know, it's an interesting off season. How has it been for you mentally, Riley? Because it's not easy going through this time. And you know, I'm an older guy, played football, but I've never gone through something like this. I just had Mirat El-Khatib on the show, and you know, he's the president of the Thunder, and we talked about the fact we're guys in our 40s. We've never been through something like this as a youth of today. What's it been like you mentally? For you mentally?
No, honestly, like. It wasn't very tough for me at the start, and that's because just like the guys that I stated, Mackert and Newton there, we had a massive gym in their garage, so we were still training just like we would at Ignite, and we were running and stuff, so we were kind of like getting out of our own heads a little bit with that. And when things started to open up again, Joel Lipinski did a great job for us to give us a place to work out and train and just not miss a beat and get a competitive advantage on every other team in the West, so... It was good just like kind of making the pros of everything because there's really nothing that we could do in the situation other than just kind of live day to day.
Yeah. So I understand you were coaching youth football here, helping out. I saw an article. Tell me about that.
It was great. You know, just giving back to the community, especially most of those kids are my brother's age, so I knew a couple of them. And just letting them know things that I wish I would have known when I was younger. Just like how to use my hands, my feet, like not taking any false steps, just being explosive, playing with your eyes to your feet, like all in one motion, reading the mesh point, you know, just stuff that is fundamental, but literally NFL players still use it.
Yeah. So were they high school kids? Were they peewee kids? Like junior football? Like what I mean, minor football kids? What ages were you coaching?
They were grades 10 to 12. All the D linemen were going into grade 12, so it was an older group of kids. They were all really good players. We had 5 guys there, and they all could easily play post-secondary if that's junior or CIS level or U Sports, I guess. They were all really good players, and they all just – I liked the attitudes of them all, too. They all wanted to learn, and they were energetic, and it was just a great experience.
So who was that guy for you? Who was the guy that taught you stuff, either a coach or a player as you've gone through your career? Who was the guy that really taught you how to develop your skills?
On the Hilltops, for sure. Matt Cozen and Tom Schnitzler, those two guys really made me into the junior player that I was. And then after I won an All-Canadian and I went to the Huskies, obviously Evan Macabrota taught me how to be a good leader, how to grind out there, Just put your head down and work, and just like play football, and everything else will take care of itself. And obviously, Tristan Kronkowitz, he was my roommate, one of my best friends on the team in my rookie year. And he just taught me how to keep things light and how to, like, he actually taught me the cross drop move and how to, like, play with my hands. So, yeah, it's just great guys everywhere I played with, honestly.
Yeah, Tristan's a guy that's now coaching at his old high school. Winston Knoll, I think he stepped in as the defensive coordinator there. His wife overcame some health issues, so that's great for the big T man there.
That is great.
It's nice to get back in the practice field. I bet you guys are back to working out, kind of. What's that like?
Oh, it was so nice. We finally did a team period yesterday, just half speed going against the offensive line. But, like, you don't realize how much you miss it until you're actually out there. And we're going to be starting to work out together as a team again. That starts today. And we're literally just building every day, step by step, and just getting ready for May, for that tournament in May.
Hey, before I talk about that tournament in May, back to junior football. You know, we got great junior football programs in this province. We got great university programs in this province. Would you have been ready to step in and play university football? I guess where I'm going with this, how much of a help was junior football for you? Or would you have been okay to step right in from high school to play university football?
Well, junior football is a tremendous help. I would obviously always encourage everybody to go play at least 2 to 3 years, depending on your unique age experience, because I'm one of those rare eight-year guys because of my late birthday.
Right.
So I was available to play 3 years of junior, then 5 of youth sports. But I would say at least everybody go play 2 years. You're just going to turn into more of a man. You're going to develop more. And you're going to get more game experience, and that's all you want. I did have a couple offers coming out of high school, but I just wasn't big enough. And I just felt that Hilltops was the right way to go, and I think it was.
Yeah, no, it's obviously proving to be a very good program. Obviously, they're in Saskatoon with the Hilltops, and nationally, of course. And that's some good words from Riley Pickett. Okay, yeah, you talked about that tournament in May. There's going to be like a jamboree out there in Quebec they're planning. Now we're a long way from that, but that's got to give you guys some hope that you need. We talk about, you know, mentally and staying sharp and having something to work towards, because it's nice to practice. It's nice to get to be on the field. But let's be honest, Riley, it's great to actually play a game. So how much, how much of a breath of fresh air, pardon me, is that you guys might have a chance to go to Quebec in May?
Well, seriously, it's just the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, there's been so many terrible things this year with everything that's going on in the world. And it's like this pandemic, like just in general. And there's finally something to look forward to. And that's why I think that everyone's out there grinding so hard on the practice field and is so happy to be back together. And I think that this tournament in May will really, really bring our team together as one for next season.
Yeah, and man, I've said this for a while. I think this football team, the Huskies, I mean, Calgary comes in as the favorite, and they should, because they're the Vanier Cup champs. But I really feel this Saskatoon team, the U of S Huskies, you guys are built to win the championship the next 2 years. Is that kind of the feeling around the locker room?
That is the feeling around the locker room. And we had that feeling even in my rookie year when I came there, when we first won the Hardy Cup. And that's just the standard that we've set ourselves. Like, when we came short last year, that was devastating. You know, everybody obviously thought, like, we were going to win that game and we were going to host McMaster. So that was a pretty devastating feeling, and I don't think anyone wants to feel that again. So we're all obviously going to put in the work so we don't feel like that again.
Guy who has played, championship football with the Hilltops, and then he won a Hardy Cup with the Huskies. Tough question to wrap up. What's your favorite football memory?
Favorite football memory? For sure the Hardy Cup. There's just something about beating Calgary and just like that level of football. For sure the Hardy Cup or the World Championship I won with Team Canada. That was an awesome memory as well. But those two for sure mean more to me than anything else.
Do you have pro football in your aspirations?
Of course, I have pro football in my aspirations. That's why I train so hard every day. I do all the right things, the mobility sessions, the get-offs, all the extra work. Joel Lipinski does a great job with us. He knows exactly how to get us pro-ready, pro-body. So, yeah, I want to play. I want to play pro football, and I'm just trying to up my draft stock every single day.
So who do you watch? Who do you try to emulate? Is there anybody you try to emulate that you look up to kind of in the pro ranks?
CFL or NFL?
You pick.
Well, I mostly watch NFL, and I would say that I mostly watch Khalil Mack, even though I'm a big Packers fan. Mm-hmm. He's probably my favorite guy to watch just because I try to emulate my game around him with the long arm.
Yeah,
I really like the way that he plays that and comes off of things. And I like the way that he comes out of a 2- and 3-point stance. He's very versatile. I also like to watch Aaron Donald because I know, like, I like to practice my cross-chop kind of stuff, and he's, like, the master at that. And then obviously in the CFL, our boy Charleston Hughes, you know, he gets a million sacks every year and he's a million years old. So you just can't deny that he's great.
Let me ask you this. I've asked other guys this. I want to pick your brain here. I guess I went two more questions than I thought I would. Hope you got a second to answer this one.
Of course.
So why do you watch the NFL more than the CFL? Because let's be honest, I'm not saying you can't make the NFL. You can. Look at, there are three Regina Rams that start the season in the NFL. Two of them on active rosters in Akeem Hicks and Tavon Campbell, and then Brett Jones is on the Vikings practice roster. So you can do it. Guys can make it. But you're most likely, Riley, going to end up in the CFL like your old teammate Nick Daly. That's probably your course, right?
Yeah, I know that too.
And that's not a cutdown. That's still great. It's a great league. I'm not trying to diminish that. What I'm asking you is, why do you watch the NFL as opposed to the CFL if the CFL might be more your path? And I'm not saying that negatively. I want to know why you do.
Because I think that I already know Canadian football, and I play it every single day. And I've been to a lot of Rider games. I've been to some Bomber games and stuff. I've only been to one NFL game, and I've only played in one American football tournament. And I just really like the style of the game, and I liked how we didn't have to give a yard off and stuff. And I just love the Green Bay Packers, so I just always watch them. And and there's also no CFL season this year, so
we may as well
be watching NFL.
Okay, but let me ask you this question. What can the CFL do to make it more appealing to guys your age or younger? Because those are the guys that they need. They've already got guys like me. I've watched the CFL for 40 years, okay? I've loved the CFL. I cover the CFL. That's my, you know, I like both leagues. I don't think you have to pick between the NFL and the CFL. But what can the CFL do through Riley Pickett's eyes to get more eyes, more young eyes like you on the CFL game? Because I think that's a huge problem in the CFL right now.
Yeah, I think it is too. And I think that the only way really to do that is just to have more homegrown talent in the league. I think that there's just too many imported guys, and it is the CFL. So I think that we should have more Canadian roster spots. And I think that would really up the viewers if they just know that it's going to be Canadian boys out there playing against each other instead of only seven guys per active roster.
Yeah. Do you feel like the dream is dying for Canadian guys coming up like you?
For myself personally, no, but I do feel like that some guys obviously second guess themselves and they shouldn't, just because of the low numbers for the Canadians on rosters.
Like your quarterback, for instance. I've been touting Mason Nias for years. Adam Mackard, who is an unbelievable running back. I bet you, and no disrespect to Adam, he should get a legitimate shot, but I bet you he doesn't. Like, the one thing I found really ridiculous this year is your teammate Colton Klotzen, who breaks his leg horrifically, and you think this guy will never play again. He gets picked in the sixth round by the Alouettes, and it's a great pick. I think it might be the steal of the draft. No disrespect to Colton Klotzen, but the Montreal Alouettes couldn't even work this dude out, okay? They couldn't work him out. They had to do the eyeball test on the dude. That's it, and then just go by that and the tape. Whereas Adam Sinegra is maybe the best quarterback to play in the Can West in the last 5 to 10 years, and they sign him as a free agent. They don't even spend a late-round pick on the Canadian quarterback. Like, it makes me really shake my head.
Yeah, and like that's kind of the everyone kind of thinks like that, right? And that's why maybe it's dying around a little bit in my age group, because guys like Sinegra, like, we play against him and he slices us up for 400 yards and then he doesn't even get drafted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, it's a little bit of a head shaker. I think that they might want the size, though, because O'Connor, obviously, is a super talented guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Never won a heck for some reason, though, but he has the size. So that's why he was a third-down pick by the Argonauts.
Yeah,
but
agreement with you. I'm in total agreement with you, and I just wanted a guy like you. And let's be honest here. I never set you up. You didn't know that question was coming. You didn't know any of these questions was coming. So I just want to know, because I always think they got to keep the dream alive. In the NFL, they make more money, so that's part of the dream. But it doesn't matter whether you live in Alabama, Oregon, Nebraska, North Dakota. The dream is alive, whether it be perception or reality, that if you work hard and get the right breaks, you can make the NFL. That isn't the case in the CFL. You can work your ass off as Riley Pickett and bust your balls. You're already going uphill.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I just don't understand really why, but it has been dying. And, like, especially for guys like Macca that you stated, that, like, he might not get a shot, even though that he is the most deserving out of anybody in the Canada West.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire last night. He's the same size as Adam, maybe 10 pounds heavier, and he's out there dicing guys up. So I just don't understand why more Canadian guys don't get a chance to showcase their skills in their own league.
I appreciate your time, Riley Pickett. Enjoy getting on the field again today, okay?
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for everything.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.